Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. We're continuing to go through the book of 2 Kings, and we're going to be going through a story with Elisha, and we're going to be digging out some pearls of wisdom out of 2 Kings chapter 4 this week. So let's go ahead and get started reading with 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared Yahweh, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. I want to pause here for a moment and talk about a few things here in this passage. The first thing we see here is we have a woman who is in distress. Her husband has passed away, and she owes money to some creditors. She is in debt, and their way of taking payment is they're going to make her two children his slave. Okay, so she comes to the prophet, and what we see here is she says, my servant, my husband is dead. You know that he feared Yahweh. Okay, so this is how this woman describes her husband, as somebody who feared Yahweh. So what we can see here is that her husband walked in covenant with Yahweh. When we look at walking in covenant with him, what does it mean? You know, he promises to be faithful unto us, to be our God, which means that he is going to be our mighty one. He will do and provide for us. Okay, he will heal for us. He will bring deliverance unto us. He will protect us. He will be our mighty one. He is faithful to do that. That is his end of the covenant. So that is what she's doing. She is coming and calling upon the goodness of God and the fact that her husband walked in covenant with him. May God do something to help me, to bring deliverance, to bring provision, to show me his goodness during this time. And she calls upon the fact that her husband feared Yahweh. Well, that's our end of the covenant. It's for us to fear him, to love him with all of our hearts, with all that we have. So what does it mean to fear Yahweh? When I think of defining what it means to fear Yahweh, I think of the story of Abraham when he was tested by Isaac. So let's read that story here in Genesis chapter 22, starting in verse 1. Now it had happened after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take now your son, your only one, whom you love, Isaac, and go forth to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there, and we will worship and we will return to you. Then Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and put it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering. And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and put him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of Yahweh called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not stretch out your hand against the boy and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only one, from me. We think about this testing. Abraham is told to bring Isaac and to offer him as an offering. Okay. So when Abraham is going on the journey, he knows what has been asked of him to do. But we see a very interesting statement that Abraham says to his men. Okay. He says, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and we will return to you. It's an interesting statement for Abraham to say when he knows what he has been told to do. So we see here the trust that is going on in Abraham. We read in Hebrews that Abraham had faith to believe that God could raise Isaac from the dead. So Abraham is going to be obedient to what God has told him to do because he's trusting in what God is saying for him to do, and that he knows what the promise is, that his seed is going to be as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the seashore, and that this is going to come from Isaac. That's the promise. He knows it. And his faith is to the point that he believes that even if he offers Isaac on the altar, that God will raise him from the dead, that God is going to do what he told him he was going to do. He was going to fulfill his promise and his end of the covenant, that his seed would be as the stars of the heavens, and it was going to be through Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise, and he was the one through which that promise is coming, and he was still willing to bring him and to bound him and to lay him on that altar and to slay him, if that is what God was going to have him do. Because he wasn't leaning on his own understanding. He wasn't trying to figure out how is this going to work out. He just believed that if he obeyed God, God would provide a way. So upon him being faithful to what God has asked him to do, and the reason he's willing to do this is because he believes in the faithfulness of God. And that is why we are able to walk in faithfulness. And that's why we walk in faithfulness, is because we believe in his faithfulness. If you don't believe in his faithfulness, then you're not going to walk in faithfulness. Our obedience flows from a place of trusting and believing in him. If you don't trust and believe in him, you're not going to obey him. And if you're not obeying him, then there is something in you that is lacking faith. That is why James is able to say, your faith without works is dead, because your works, your obedience proves your faith. The fact that you obey his word proves the fact that you believe his word. It proves the fact that you don't trust and lean on your own understanding and your own way of doing things, but you trust and believe that if you do what he is telling you to do, that he is going to provide. You're going to see his goodness. He is going to be your God. So Abraham, because he is willing to do it, he raises up that knife, and as he's about to slay Isaac, the angel stops him and says, "Now I know that you fear God." Why did he know he feared God? Because Abraham showed by his actions, by his obedience, that he trusted in Yahweh. So to fear Yahweh is to be able to do as Abraham did in this story. To be able to be obedient unto God's word because you trust his word. You believe his word. You trust that when he gave us his law, he did not give it to us to place a heavy burden on. In fact, he says this thing is not too hard to do. The heavy burdens come from religion. It comes from men adding to his law. Okay? So fearing him is to trust the fact that when he gave us his law, he gave it to us out of a loving father's heart, who desires the best for his children. That's what his law is about. For you to receive the fullness of his blessings, the fullness of his goodness, the fullness of what it means to walk in covenant with him. His desire is to protect his children from the darkness of this world. And that is what his law does. It protects us from the evil entrapments that come from the darkness of this world. The darkness that resides within us and the lust of our flesh that we have to fight and battle with each and every single day. It protects us from the evil influences that is out in the world. The temptation to be conformed unto the world instead of being transformed into the image of Yeshua. And you know what transforms us into the image of Yeshua? A faith and a belief in Yeshua that produces obedience to God's word. When we do that, that will set us apart from the world. You cannot achieve set apartness with just obedience. You cannot achieve set apartness with just faith. You have to have faith and obedience combined in order to be set apart from this world. And when we are willing to lay down even that which is most costly unto us, that we hold most dear unto us. Isaac was a thing that Abraham held most dear. He represented the promise. And when we're willing to lay that down and trust God with that thing, we will begin to see his faithfulness and his goodness. Because then he knows our hearts. He knows that he can trust us and that we love him. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. I had mentioned this earlier. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only son, to whom it was said, and Isaac, your seed shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he also received him back. Abraham believed in the goodness of God. He didn't limit God in this situation. He didn't limit what God could do for him, that if necessary, God would go to the extent to even raise Isaac from the dead. Do we trust him to the point that we do not limit what God could do for us? That's when you know you really fear him. When we can get to the place where Abraham was, where we can lay down that thing which is most dear unto us, believing that there is no limit to what God can do for us. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll go to verse 2 now. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me. What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your servant woman has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." So she has no money to pay back the creditor. She's looking at losing her two sons to her sons becoming slaves unto the creditor. So she turns to Elisha the prophet, calling upon the faithfulness of God, hoping and believing that there is something that could be done for her. It's interesting. The man who feared God now has a woman who, when she's in a hardship, turns to God. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 3. Then he said, "Go, ask for vessels for yourself from those outside, from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. Now it happened that when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one more vessel," and the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." So she calls upon Elisha for help, and Elisha tells her, "This is what you are to do. Take the little bit of oil that you have and send your sons out to gather and bring in all the vessels that they can find. Seek out empty vessels." He says, do not get a few. Get as many as you can get. Get a lot of them. If you're leaning on your own understanding, this doesn't make sense. But the widow and her sons are obedient to what Elisha tells her to do. Now, ultimately, Elisha is telling her God's word, God's plan. So she, by being obedient unto Elisha, is being obedient to what God is telling her to do, to God's word. So she goes home and she trusts and what Elisha tells her to do. She does what he said. She stays at home, and they go out, and they're gathering empty vessels. And as they bring back the empty vessels, she's beginning to pour from the little bit of oil she has into these vessels. And she's filling these vessels up as they are out and about getting more. Then eventually they get to the place where they have no more vessels. So she is showing that she fears Yahweh. She trusts Yahweh. When it got hard, she sought Elisha. Then she's willing to do what Elisha tells her to do. You could say this is a bit of a testing as well. Look, I'm going to provide for you. Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to do something that in the natural looking at it doesn't seem to make sense? Are you going to limit what can happen? She could have looked at Elisha and said, I don't have enough oil to fill all of these empty vessels. Why am I doing this? She doesn't. She follows the instructions that were given to her. And because she trusted and she did what she was told to do, she saw the fullness. She saw the goodness of God. She kept pouring and filling these vessels up. She saw firsthand the goodness of Yahweh. And then they took the full vessels and they went and sold them, paid off the debt, and then had enough for her and her sons to live on. That is the goodness of God. Now let's look at Psalm chapter 37 and verse 3. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I want to pause here for a second. So here the psalmist is telling us, so trust in Yahweh, number one, right? What does it mean to fear him? Trust him and obey him. Well, he says here in Psalms, the psalmist is telling us, trust in Yahweh and do good. What does it mean to do good? Walk in his commands. Walk in his ways. Walk as Yeshua walked. That is a command given unto us. So trust in Yahweh, do good, dwell in the land, and cultivate faithfulness. Cultivate faithfulness in your life. Cultivate faithfulness towards Yahweh. How do we show him faithfulness? By remaining faithful in the covenant, remaining faithful and trusting and obeying him. Cultivate faithfulness in your life. He's faithful. And by his mercy, he's faithful even when we are not faithful. But how much more faithful? How much more of his faithfulness are we going to see when we cultivate faithfulness in our lives and we're walking in faithfulness? Verse 5, commit your way to Yahweh. Trust in him and he will do it. Do you really believe that statement? That if you trust in him, you do good, you cultivate faithfulness, you commit your way unto Yahweh to walk in his ways, to trust in him, to believe in him, that he will do it. Because sometimes, even though we say we trust in him and we're doing good, we're cultivating faithfulness, sometimes we doubt that he will actually do it. Verse 7, be still in Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out schemes of wickedness. Interesting, after we just read that. So be still in Yahweh. So you can trust in him, you can have faith in him, but it doesn't always mean we're going to immediately see him do it. So be still, wait patiently. Be willing to wait. But because you're waiting doesn't mean you waver in your trust and belief. You still have full expectation. You're still believing it's going to happen and that he's going to do it. But while you're being still and while you're patiently waiting for him, do not fret, because the one who is prospering, who's walking in wickedness. Because we sometimes can get distracted by the world around us. And it seems that those who are walking in wickedness seemed more blessed and prosperous than us. And if we fret upon that, if we think about that, it can cause us to waver. Remember, do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap. So if you be still, wait patiently, you may not get your answer right away. He may not do it right at the moment that you're hoping and expecting it at. And if that does not happen, if he doesn't do it at that moment, be willing to be still and to wait patiently. And while you're waiting patiently, do not get distracted by how everything may be seeming to go right for those who are walking in wickedness. Now let's look at Psalms chapter 31 and verse 19. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have worked for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You think about the story there in 2 Kings. The widow, the woman, took refuge in Yahweh. And because she took refuge in him, and because she feared him and her husband feared him, she was able to say, how great is your goodness? His goodness is great. It's abundance. He abundantly will show his goodness to those who fear him and take refuge in him. And he will do it before the sons of men, so they will see his goodness. So maybe they, upon seeing his goodness, will repent. It is a goodness of God that leads us unto repentance. What does that mean? That when people see his goodness, when we taste of his goodness, it leads us to want to repent, to turn from our wicked ways, to trust him. Because we have seen his goodness. We have seen his faithfulness. We have seen his love. We love him because he first loved us. We are faithful unto him because he first showed us his faithfulness and his goodness. And when we taste of his goodness, it draws us to want to embrace and cling unto him more. It should create a response in the believer to want to walk wholeheartedly before him, to give him all that they have, to love him with all of their heart, to embrace all of his ways, to repent of those things in their life which does not line up with his word. That is what the goodness of God does. And when a sinner sees the goodness of God, it draws them unto repentance to turn from their sin and to put their faith and their belief and their trust in Yeshua, to have that desire to be in relationship with their Messiah, with their Redeemer, with their Savior. That is what the goodness of God does. Let's long to see his goodness. And if we want to see his goodness, we need to be one who takes refuge in him and who fears him. And we need to be willing to let the world see the goodness of God at work in our lives. Well, hallelujah, we are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.